We are living in the rise of machines, and automation and AI are fundamentally changing the way the world does business. Sharing secrets of how we can adopt this technology to stay truly competitive, please put your hands together for founder and CEO of Good Data, Roman Stanek.
Good morning. My name is Roman Stanek. I'm the founder and CEO of Good Data, and I will talk about artificial intelligence today. So I'm originally from the Czech Republic, but I live in San Francisco. I came yesterday. I may be a little jet lagged today, but what I'm going to talk about is why we need artificial intelligence in financial services. What areas you can actually see it, and why actually different areas, and what effect it will actually have on jobs in banking and financial services and so on. And I may have also some predictions about AI in the future. So why AI? We believe that AI will actually steal $1.2 trillion annually from businesses that are not AI enabled. And the funny thing is, this is not the first time we talk about AI. I still remember when I was extremely young that AI used to be a hardware category. In the 80s, it actually failed, and no one believed that it would ever come back again. Some of you might remember, you know, the 80s, but now it's back, and this is the potential effect. So why now? We have the power, we have the computing power, we have the open source software that makes it possible, and we also have big problems that we are solving with AI. So only a couple of years ago, every single presentation like this would be about mobile first. But get ready for this kind of world where everything now will be AI first. Every single application will have to be designed not from mobile app, but from AI app. That's where you will start. You will start with behavior of your machines, and then that will define the UI. So let's take a look at some of the top applications of artificial intelligence, and why is it applicable? So the first one that always comes to the top of the mind of everyone is financial advisory. This notion of robo advisors is everywhere, and there are multiple reasons for that. The first one is that robo advisors don't take commissions. They essentially are a cheaper way how to do this. You know, this I wasn't able to find less cheesy picture than this one. Every time you talk about financial advisors, it always looks like this. And I believe that the kid is smiling because it knows the next time it's going to talk to the advisor, it's going to be a robo advisor. It's not going to be a human. The second reason why we will see robo advisors is regulation. Now we have the Department of Labor regulation that defines what advisors can and cannot actually do, and it will be very soon easier for AI to solve that problem. So that was the first one. The fraud detection. The reason why fraud detection is perfect for AI is that the data in fraud detection, in credit cards and transactions and so on, the data is extremely imbalanced. For one fraud transaction, you have to go through millions and millions of regular transactions. So it's a space that AI and machine learning and deep learning networks are extremely helpful and extremely useful. So you will see that in fraud detection all the time. Legal work. This is actually space that already exists. JP Morgan launched recently an application that replaces 300,000 hours of legal work annually. And Deloitte published a study that says that 100,000 jobs will disappear from legal in the next couple of years. Because it's so much easier for machines to scan the documents, understand what's going on. Is that not working? Okay. And it's much easier for machines to to do the legal work than humans. Anti-money laundering. The reason why we see AI in anti-money laundering is the fact that there are so many rules, so many regulations, and the rules are coming after rules. It's almost impossible at this point anymore to make sure that you have a transaction that's not invalid, because there are hundreds and hundreds of rules, and it's going to be much easier for deep learning networks to learn new rules, to learn from them, and adopt them at scale. And so you will actually, this is one of the areas that it's almost impossible to do it without AI anymore. Customer services, that's an area, as I said, it's AI first. So every bank is now in the US working on AI strategy that will allow consumers to react with machines first before they will actually deal with humans, but in a form that will not be distinguishable from humans. It will be very more and more difficult for us consumers to understand when do I talk to machine or when do I talk to a human. And it's always starting with all the chatbots that you can actually chat with someone and not realize that it was just a machine. And this is going to be the new phase of customer service for banks and financial institutions. And the last one that I'm really excited about, because that actually will probably have the most imminent and impactful impact, is the back office. Thousands and thousands of people in straight-through processing, in outsourcing and so on, are now being replaced by what's called robotic processing. And so these robots, you can actually buy a robot, it's a piece of software that does the work of someone who is now being outsourced to third party. And these people can do complex integration like mortgage processing, straight-through processing, and so on. So in this building, on a picture behind me, you will actually see that one will mostly disappear, because a lot of these people doing back-office processing will go to machines. So what is my rule of AI? I believe that 80% of what's being now done by people will be actually replaced by machines in the next 10 years. And only 20% will actually be done by people, when we will actually need some deeper know-how. I don't know if it's going to look like this with people with virtual reality, but it's not impossible. But what effect it will have on banks and insurance companies and financial services, it's actually already measurable. It's already measurable. And Citibank just published a study that says that the number of people employed by banks will go down 40% in the next 10 years. It's dramatic. It's 40% in 10 years. And as you can actually see, it's from 3 million people to 1.8 million people in 2025. And I actually believe that it's going to be much more aggressive. This is actually an optimistic example, that we will see more dramatic decline in employment in major banks. I believe it was Bill Gates who said in like early 90s that world needs banking services, not necessarily banks. And this is the example. So I found an interesting study done by Fast Company, what jobs will be replaced by AI. And this study has nothing to do with banks and so on. But the top three jobs were in financial services. And if you're interested, what's number four? It's construction workers. That's the impact it will have on our industry. So what does it tell us? What does it tell us? It tells us that the insurance underwriters, people who actually make these Monday decisions, that's what I'm talking about, when I said that we will see the biggest impact initially in the back office. Initially, AI will be all about elimination of mundane decisions, of tasks that no one wants to do because they are too tedious. And it's going to be very easy for machines to do it much cheaper, much faster, with no bias, looking at more data and so on. So bank tellers and representatives, again, it's going to be chatbots, it's going to be, you know, new ways how to do UI in banking, and financial analysts, big data, we will actually see that role disappear because most of the data will be analyzed automatically. The notion of mundane decision, the notion that someone needs to sit and look at 100,000 of loan or claims every single year, that's going to go away. Those jobs will go away first, and those are jobs that employ, you know, 100,000 of people. The only thing that can actually stop this is that we will not have enough people doing AI. I found an article in The Economist that calls AI, people developing AI, million-dollar babies. That's how much you need to pay them to develop these algorithms and develop these kind of models and so on. And the funny thing is, you know, we define AI as machine learning, deep machine networks, predictive technologies and so on. My definition is actually very simple. My definition is that if your developers know how this algorithm works, then it's not AI. Then it's just rule-based. It needs to be essentially machine learning that problem. It's actually very easy to think about AI as kids at school. We teach machines, we teach them some new problem, and then the machines should be able to make independent implication and reactions, and not just what used to be a rule-based machines where you had to define every single situation for the machine. So it's going to be very different when machines are learning new stuff all the time. And it's also a big risk because we saw it in the past. You can actually have a runaway AI that may ruin a company because the machine will make wrong decisions. And that actually takes me, I have a minute left, that takes me to one last slide that's almost scary. This one is very new. It's I think it was published last week from Oxford University. And the red line is a probability of machine being smarter than human. And they actually asked, I believe, 1,000 experts in AI, what their opinion is, at what point will machine be able to do what we do today, you know, to do this presentation, to do the presentations, all the speeches today. And as you can see, the consensus is that in about 50 years, 50% of people expect that machines will actually be smarter than humans. So we have about 25 years left to deal with it. And this is not going to be an easy discussion because we make machines smarter. We actually learn them to new stuff. And as they become more and more independent, this chart will be more and more reality. At some point, all these jobs will be actually done by machines. This red line is not some automation of financial services. The red line is actually a machine developing a new AI algorithm without any help of a human. And so my last slide is a quote from Swedish philosopher Nick Bostrom, is that AI might be the last invention we actually might need to make. Because after that, the machines will make their own inventions. But in the meantime, I do believe that we will see AI in everything what we do. We have good data here today showing some examples of AI, if you find us in our booth. And thank you. Thanks.